John chapter 6, if you would stand with me. We'll start reading verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. The point here, I want you to see this, and we see this today. They were looking and following Jesus because of his miracles and the cool stuff he was doing and what they could probably get out of it, how God could bless me, you know. And we still see that today. People aren't in church. They're not serving God because God deserves it. He's God. We're serving Him because of what we can get out. And the first time that life hits us hard and we think God has let us down, we bail. Why? Because we weren't in the right place to start with. We ought to worship and serve God simply for the fact He deserves it. Period. Whether He's good to me or not doesn't matter. He's God. He deserves my worship and praise. Amen. Well, that's contrary to preaching today, isn't it? Now, where was I? I done distracted myself. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, the feast, and the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company come unto Him. He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread for these that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Did you get that? At no point in this story is Jesus lost for what He's going to do. He has a plan. And may I say, He has a plan for your life. If you'll line up with Him, it'll work out. Amen? And it probably won't work out the way you think it's going to work out. And Philip answered him. Now, I've always thought this was funny. I have a warped sense of humor, I admit it. But he says here, Philip answered and said to him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them. And by the way, a penny's worth is about a day's wage. So he's saying almost, you know, 3/4 of a year's pay would not feed this bunch. And that everyone would have just a little bit. And this is the part that cracks me up. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? It's almost as soon as it came out of his mouth, he realized how stupid a statement that was. Hey, there's a kid here with a bag lunch. Oh, 5,000 people. Yeah, what is that among so many? It makes me laugh because I've done the same thing. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men all sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. I won't go there. So the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, I could just see the disciples freaking out here. Because the food still wasn't there. The answer had not been given yet. How are we going to feed this bunch? And Jesus says, have them sit down. We're going to eat. But where's the food coming from? Okay? That hasn't been answered yet. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. I may be stretching this a little bit, but give me some liberty here. I believe that God will direct this local body through the man of God that he's called here. And as God gives it to him, he gives it to you. And our job is to take that and in unity go the direction that God is leading this local body. But I believe he leads through the man of God. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And then verse 12, when they were filled, they all had ate till they didn't want no more. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Do you realize that they ended up with more than they started with? Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now let's pray. Father, thank you again for just a precious week with this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the truths that you've led us to speak this week will take seed in our lives and change us. Father, I pray tonight that your folks would be encouraged through your word, that, Lord, they will understand very clearly that it's not about us, it's not about our inability or ability, it's about you and our obedience to what you've called us to do. So, Father, I pray that you would just encourage the people of God tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Here it is, this young man at this big gathering. And the Bible doesn't say that the young lad gave his lunch, but I'm sure he did. The disciples would not have yanked it out of his hands. Amen. This young lad took his lunch, which was enough to take care of him, and gave it. And I have a song coming out on my new CD that I'm working on, and it's simply the title, "Make Me a Child Again." You know, I think some of us adults have lost our childlike faith. We try to reason everything out. Amen? If you're anything like me. And you try to, when God leads, we try to figure it out. Okay, if I follow God, where's this going to take me? How's this going to turn out, you know? And instead of just in simple childlike faith, saying, "Lord, you need something? Here's what I have. You can have it." Now, if he'd have thought that through, he'd understood this isn't much. Maybe that little boy was thinking, you know, well, maybe this is enough to feed Jesus. I mean, I don't know what was in his heart and his mind. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he was willing to give it up. And that's the first thing I want you to see. Point number one, God wants what you have. Amen? Say that with me. God wants what you have. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says, "I beseech you, I beg of you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Friend, what God wants from you is what you have. You know, I think a lot of us in churches today kind of hold back. And Sunday, you know, that's the Lord's day. We go to church. That's His. You know, the tenth, the tithe, we set that apart and give that faithfully. But in reality, the whole check is His. Every day of the week is His. Every breath I breathe is His. Amen? It's all about Him. That's why we exist. God wants what you have. Second point may sound redundant, but it's this: God wants only what you have. Have you ever found yourselves thinking, "Well, I can't teach like so-and-so. Or I can't sing like so-and-so. Or I don't have the gift of hospitality like so-and-so." Well, God doesn't want that from you if you don't have it. What do you have? That's what God wants from you. And you know the beauty of that is all of us can do that. I'm not in competition with you. I'm not in competition with Billy Graham. I'm not in competition with anybody. My only duty in life is to obey God and take what I have, what He's equipped me with, and let Him use it. Isn't that precious? I think that truth has encouraged me many times. God doesn't want from me what I don't have. He wants from me what I have. I'm reminded of Moses. Remember him? He had some kind of speech impediment. I don't know if he stuttered or what, but when the Lord called him to go before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," you know, he was scared to do that. And it reminds me of that when the Lord says, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" What did he have in his hand? A stick. A rod. And God said, "Let's use that." "Moses, is that what you got? You got a stick? Well, let's use your stick." You see, it's not about what I don't have. It's not about my ability. It's about me giving what I do have. That's all God wants from me. God will equip you for your calling. Amen? Where He leads, He provides. You've heard that those sayings before, but they're true. I think of the parable of the talents in verse 25. I mean, you have some of these. You had one guy that got five talents. What did he do with them? In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. One was given five talents. What did he do with them? He bought five more. The other one had, was it two or three? Three? Three talents. What did he do with them? Bought three more. Then there's a young man that only had one talent. What did he do with it? He hid it. And we find out when the master came back and said, you know what? They said to the one who had five and now had ten, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The one had three and now hath six, he says, "Well done." He gave the same praise to the one that had six as the one that had ten. The number didn't matter. It's that they took what they had and was faithful with it. But the one that had one and hid it, when asked why, he said, "I know that you're a hard man, and I didn't want to disappoint you." He had the wrong view of the master. And I think a lot of God's people have the wrong view of our master. All God wants from you is what you have. Young people, whatever it is you have today, you don't have to wait. "When I get older, I'm going to serve God." No, what do you have today? God wants you to use it for Him today. Some of you are of retirement age. Maybe you don't have the strength. You don't have the finances that you used to have. Doesn't matter. What do you have today? That's all God wants from you. Amen? And any of us can do that. Any of us can do that. If you don't have it, God don't want it. Amen. State the obvious. God wants what you have. God wants only what you have. And I love this next one. God isn't limited. Read this with me. God isn't limited by what you don't have. He's limited in your life by what you don't give. Amen? See, bottom line is, it's not about us at all. See, my ability is as big as God Himself. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? It's Him enabling me to do what He's called me to do. I'm able to do anything God wants me to do through His power and His strength. So it's not about my ability or lack thereof. That's not even in the picture. What's in the picture is what ability I do have. Have I given it to God? What finances I do have, is God got control of that? The blessings that He's given me in material things, Have I allowed God to do with those things what He wants to do? I've heard preachers who have said God laid on their heart to give their car away. I know one evangelist who had a ranch and God told him to give his ranch away. And he did, by the way. And his ministry went to another level because he obeyed God. Is your house God's? Is your stuff belong to God? Is your ability belong to God? God is not limited in your life because you don't have something. He's limited in your life by when you hold back on Him. God will bless us according to our faith. Faith moves God. I heard a preacher say this one time, and I had to stop and think about it, but I believe he is right. Need does not move God. Faith moves God. The fact that I have a need in my life, that doesn't move God. But when I turn that need over to Him and respond in faith, that moves the heart of God and the hand of God. Amen. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and my word abideth in him, the same shall produce much fruit. And it goes on to say, without me ye can do what? Nothing. Just like a branch cannot exist, it doesn't just float in the air. Amen. It's into the trunk of the tree. And that trunk is in the ground drawing new nutrients up through there and putting it out to the branch so the branch can bring forth the fruit. Well, the Bible says we are the branches. We will bring forth fruit when we're drawing from the trunk and the Spirit of God is flowing through it. Amen? The sap of the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. We will produce fruit. But in ourselves, we can do nothing. When we say, all right, God, I'm abiding in you. I'm listening to you. The best of my ability, Lord, you can have anything I have. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm yours. That's when God is loosed in your life. And God will do some great and marvelous things. I could stand here the rest of the night and share stories, but I won't do the time of God's faithfulness. You know, if this is true, then why do not more Christians seem to be being used of the Lord as we see in a God-sized way? I believe it's these reasons right here. Our reaction to surrender is usually fear. And again, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. If you're fearful, it's not of the Lord. And I think the fear is these three things here. Number one, I think we're fear, if we give God what we have, we may lose what we have. I know a lot of young people that's the case. Say, Brother Jimmy, if I give God my youth, I mean, all my friends are having fun, they're partying, they're having a good time, and if I give God my youth, I'm going to miss out on all that. I'm going to miss out on something. How many of you adults would say baloney to that? Amen? Listen, I was raised in a Christian home. I had fun growing up. I would wish my life on anybody. And I didn't get into a lot of trouble because I never got caught. I mean, I wasn't perfect, but what I'm saying is, I didn't have to get into a lot of this junk and sinful things to have fun. And by the way, I can stand here tonight and tell you stories about friends that did and wish they hadn't. I've got friends I went to school with are in jail tonight because they had their fun. I can tell you of some of them who have broken homes. I have one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me. He told me his name's Mark. And this guy's life is an absolute mess today. He called me a few months back, half lit. That's probably why he called me. And by the way, I remember times when we were kneeling in my living room at home as teenagers, praying for God to use us to reach our friends for Christ. And now I have this young man who's just a mess. And he got away from God in Bible college. It's a good place to backslide. Amen? Because you're getting the Bible taught to you all the time, and it's coming at you all the time, and you start using that instead of spending a personal time with the Lord. That doesn't take place of your personal time with the Lord. Amen? Coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night does not replace your need of spending time personally with the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God. But somewhere along the line, Mark messed his life up. And the Lord's willing to take him back, but he's a mess. But he told me in a half-drunk stupor, said, Jimmy, I would give anything for us to go back your living room when we had a heart for God. I would give anything to be there again. I tried to encourage him. But friend, listen. The devil's a liar. You give God everything you got. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. I'll tell you when you're going to be disappointed. Is when you stand before God and you have not given Him everything. I encourage you, give it all. That's why we're here. If I give it, I'm going to lose what I have. We'll lose it. Go ahead and lose it to God. And watch what He does in your life. Amen? Some are fearful that if I give everything to God, He might actually use me. If I surrender, he'll call me to some pygmies over in Africa or something, you know. if I surrender, he may have me get up and sing a song in front of all these scary people. Just walk by faith. Get out of your comfort zone. And I guarantee he will use you if you give him what you got. But he'll equip you to do it. He won't leave you hanging by yourself. Amen. I heard a fellow say God's never called a one-legged man to a race unless he grew him another leg, you know, or something. You know. God will equip you, or he'll teach you how to fly or something. Amen. But he will not leave you by yourself if you give him what you have. And some others say, you know, if I give God what I have, He's going to be disappointed. Jimmy, I just don't have much to give Him. Well, I've got news for you. God already knows what you have to give. He's the one who gave it to you. Amen. Some of you say, hey, my life's been a mess. My life's so broken. I don't have much left to give God. That's okay. Give Him what you got. God will take it. Because again, it's not about you anyway. It's about your obedience to give God what you have. And when you do, God will use you. God will use you. This next point. Let's say these together. God wants what you have. God wants only what you have. Boy, that got excited, didn't it? I must have forgot to finish that thing. So, I'm trying to get y'all to speak in tongues, but it didn't work. But you just have to listen carefully for the rest of it, all right? God isn't limited by what you don't have. He's limited in your life by what you don't give. Our reaction to surrender is usually fear. But fifthly, God performs supernatural miracles with simple things. Look at 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 25. Now listen to what the Word of God says. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath He chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen? Friend, how many of y'all would say, I'm weak? I'm not all that wise. Some of y'all can honestly say, and I'm right with you, I'm an idiot. Hey, it's okay. Wherever you are, God will take that if you'll give it to Him. Because God is the master of taking simple things. That's no excuse to be ignorant. We ought to study the Word. We ought to walk with God. We ought to grow in knowledge, as we talked about the other night. Amen. But I know we're all at different levels, and I believe sometimes those who are newer in Christ see those who have been walking with God for years, and they get discouraged. Like, good night, I'm not there yet. That's okay. What God wants from you is what you have. And He is the master of taking simple things and doing mighty works with it. Just like that little boy's lunch. It wasn't a banquet. It wasn't a feast. Didn't have china and stemware and silver. It's a kid's lunch. It's all he had. And he gave it. And God did a miracle. Met the need of over 5,000 people. Because the little kid had faith to give his lunch. You'll be surprised, dear friend, what God will do with you if you'll just give Him what you have. If you quit holding back on God. Amen? Number 6. When you give God what you have, you'll end up with more than what you started with. I think this is a Bible principle. You cannot outgive God. And I believe that goes for our life too. And I'm going to read this verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Listen to this verse. I love this verse. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You are not going to outgive God. Now, I tell you what, the world's philosophy to get is to hoard it up. God's philosophy for God's people is to give it away. You see, the process of the Christian life. Now, I'm going to put some genealogy in here. The Bible does not say, but I think this fits in with the truths of God's Word. The Bible does not say or tell us what happened. What did they do with those baskets of food that were left over? Let me tell you what I believe happened to them. I believe they gave them to that little boy. And I'll tell you why. Because that fits with what the way God operates. When we give God what we have, sometimes He breaks it. Amen? But He takes it, puts His touch on it, and disperses it and meets a need that's so much bigger than us. And in return, we are blessed with more. Now that process starts over again. What's in your hand to give? You have more to give now. So you give it to God. You have more time. Maybe, you know, I've seen people who have done worked and worked hard and have saved and so forth, and now they've retired and they have more time to give. And God's called them to do something in that retirement and to see the joy in their giving. And the more they give, it just seems like it just keeps coming back to them. Then they have more to give and the process just keeps growing. God will get money to who He can give money through. And not only money, God will get time to who He can give time through. Amen? Or you can put anything in that picture. God wants us to give what we have. Our talents. It's amazing to me, honestly. What I see God doing in my music ministry. I'll just be brutally honest with you. I love singing. I love music. And I have a lot of favorite singers. And I don't think I sing that well. But God has opened the door to use this little gift that I have. And it's so cool to see. I've been nominated this year with the Artist Music Guild for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year. And I'm on a nomination list with some tremendous singers. And I'm going, I look at that list and I go, what am I doing there? Honestly, I'm thinking, God, this is obviously You. God's allowing and giving something to me so that I in return can give back and it opens more doors for ministry. Amen? And it just doesn't make sense without God in the picture. Dear friend, I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you have to give in your time and your efforts, your talents. But I would encourage you to say, Lord, may not be much, but here it is. Some of you may have much. You say, Lord, I got a lot, but it's all Yours. Again, it's not about how much. It's about have we given it all? Is it His to do with what He wants? I believe that when we give God, He always blesses with more so that we can continue that process to give even more. Amen? Every time I stand at a Billy Graham or Franklin Graham crusade and I see the invitation given and thousands of people begin to come forward, I still cry. It still just moves my heart because I've worked 9 months in that city as the whole team has. And I've poured into that place and to see the fruit coming out of those stands to come get saved, I tell you, it just moves my heart. I don't deserve anything that God gives me. As I sang tonight, if everything I had was taken away, I'd still have to say, my God has been good to me. And I'm so thankful for the privilege of serving Him. But I'm telling you, He is faithful, even when I'm not. God is faithful. And I just want to encourage you, give Him everything. Get with God. Say, God, what's in my life? What can I take? What can You use for Your glory? And yes, I am talking about your finances, but that's just a small portion of it. I'm talking about everything. Everything you have, everything you want to be. Amen? God wants it. And when you give it to Him, it's going to come back. And that's the last point. Giving to God will bless you as well as others. Just as I said, standing there watching thousands of people receive Christ because I gave a little bit of time. And yet I'm blessed. I have a part in their salvation. Amen? Some of you, you're giving to missionaries. And you say, Jimmy, it's not much, but I'm faithfully giving to these missionaries. Friend, everything God does through that missionary's ministry, you have a part of. Maybe you don't have the finances, but you're faithful to pray for people like me who's serving God full time on the road. And you're praying for my safety. You're praying for my vehicles. You're praying for my family. Friend, everything God does in my ministry, you play a part in through your prayer. What a blessing to serve the Lord. Amen. Can I ask you, does God have your lunch? Does He have it all, or did you keep the chips to yourself? You notice they had fish but no chips? He may have kept the chips to himself. I don't know. But seriously, let it all go. And let God use you. The size of your church, that's not the issue. It's the size of your faith. The size of your bank account, it's not the issue. It's the size of your faith. Does God have it all? I can just picture this little young man. His mama sent him out that day with a little lunch. And all of a sudden, she looks down the road later that afternoon, and here comes her son, and falling behind her are some guys carrying some baskets. And she goes, oh no, what has he done today? And I can just picture in my mind, just let me roam a little bit, all right? I can just picture this little boy. So excited. Mama, Mama, you'll never believe what... Remember that lunch you packed me today? The fish and the bread. Yeah, you remember that? She said, where's it at? Did you eat all that yourself? She said, no, I gave it to Jesus. He fed 5,000 people with it. Yeah, right. Who are these people? Where did these baskets come from? What'd you do? If she's anything like my mom, I guarantee she was asking those questions. Mama, you'll never believe what Jesus did today with just my lunch. It was awesome. I gave him that lunch. He reached in. There was a piece of bread. He just kept reaching in. The bread kept coming out. God, it was awesome. Friend, I'm telling you, if you'll give God what you have, it'll be awesome. God can use us to impact our world. He's called us, has He not? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a call for every one of us. And where He calls, He will provide. God will make a way for this, and I hate even saying this, little church, because it's not a little church. It's a big church. This is God's people. God turned the world upside down with 12 men. Look how many is here tonight. Imagine what God could really do with us if we just abandoned it all. Said, Lord, it's all yours. Whatever you want, it's yours. If God laid it out tonight, it'd probably scare you. But He is faithful. And it will be awesome. Father, what a joy to serve you. Lord, thank you for encouraging me today through this message again. Lord, it's all about you. You're a big God. And you are inviting us in to be a part of what you are doing. Father, I pray that we would just do that. Lord, bless this local body. Lord, you've done and are doing wonderful things through this ministry. But Lord, I believe you have so much more in store. If we would just get out of your way and abandon it all for the sake of your call on our life. Lord, just please do what you want to in our lives. May we respond tonight in obedience and faith. Lord, if there's some things we need to lay down, if there's some things we need to pick up, Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you would clearly show it to us and that we would respond to you tonight. Not wait, but respond tonight with what you would have us do. And I ask it in Jesus' name.